there's a theme that I come back to every few years, and I come back to it through a different doorway, front door, the back door. And I want to take that theme today because I believe it to be a significant part of the Pesach experience, the Haggadah. And of course, it's based on a piece of the Haggadah from my favorite parish of the Haggadah, the Leil Shimurim of the Aruch HaShulchan. Every year, I say the last 10 years, we've had another piece of the Aruch HaShulchan. It's based on the first page, of course, you have in front of you, was Yigdal. How many lines are there in Yigdal?
How many
lines? Who said that? You're right. There are 13 lines in Yigdal, all right? Well, who knows 13? Huh? Shlosh Esri Midos. Is there anything else? And that says Shlosh Esri Midos, Hashem, Kel Rachu B'Chanun, Erachapayim, Rav Chesed V'Yemez. The 13 attributes of God. Does anybody know anything else that's 13? What? Ah! The 13 articles of the faith of the Rambam. The 13 animamins. The 13 animamins.
When one becomes bar mitzvah, when one accepts
Old Torah. Well, okay, now we have 13. When one becomes bar mitzvah, one accepts Old Torah. So we have the 13 is becoming more and more important. I think most hotels in the United States don't have a 13th floor. So if you're looking for 13 over there, you're not going to find 13 over there. But by Klal Yisrael, 13, just like every other number, is important, significant, and meaningful. Yigdal is a poetic rendition of the 13 articles of the faith of the Rambam. And I always feel every few years that we have to go over these 13 articles of the faith, especially since I've been reading in different magazines, even in the religious community, there's some kind of a weakening of faith. It may very well be even a lack of knowledge of faith. So we, and this is usually what I expect by the time this year is over, that if I tap you on the shoulder and I say, will you please recite to me the 13 articles of the faith, you will be able to do precisely that.
Sure.
And you know what? Don't laugh. I think I'm going to ask you at the end of this shit to say it over, and you'll be able to say it over without taking a breath in the middle. Without taking a breath. Peneshima achas. Yigdal Elokim chai v'yishtarbach nimtze v'ayin eit el mitziyuto. Great is the living God and praised. He exists, and his existence is beyond time. This is the first of the Yud Gimel Ikanim, which we have, in fact, on the other side. Maybe we'll read the second side first and go to the first side second. There are the 13 animamins. Animamin nebuna shleima sha'a borei yidbarach shema hu borei manhig l'chol abruim v'hu levado asova usev yalsil l'chol amasim. I believe with perfect faith that the Creator, blessed be his name. There is a Creator. Number one is that there is a Creator. The second is that this Creator is one. Absolute unity. One. The third is, he is not physical in any way. He is completely a spiritual entity. And when Torah talks about the hand of God or the might of God, It's talking in a way that we should be able to understand it. In the Haggadah, you're going to read about the Biyad Chazaka Uvizroa Netuya, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, and you can begin to feel as though God is physical. No, he's not physical. Those are expressions that make it easier for us to understand God's might, God's strength. The fourth is אני אומר לממון השלמה שהבורא יתברך שמו הוא ראשון והוא אחרון. He's eternal. Rishon v'achron means he was the beginning of everything and he will be around at the end of everything. God is eternal. The fifth is very important. Ani ma'alim emunah shleim, I believe with perfect faith, sh'abodei yidbarach shemo, lo levado ra'ui lehitpalel vein ra'ui lehitpalel zulato. Pray, we pray only to him. We pray only to him. When people go pray at Kivrei Tzadikim, they go to graves all over the world, so they have to know that they're not praying to the Baal Shem or to Reb Elimelech Milezhinsk or to Rav Nachman Mibreslov. At worst or at best, what one is saying, we're asking of Rav Nachman that he should intercede on behalf, and our behalf before God. But all prayer is directed to him and to him alone. My advice, of course, is when we have a kotel, I don't think you need anything else in the whole world, except if one wants to go for historic reasons to see where great Jews lived and see the destruction that was wrought by a world full of hate. Okay, that's very important. That is very important. But tefillah, oh boy. Not only that, even if you don't go to the Kotel, we live in Yerushalayim. Who is it? Was it, as the joke goes, from here, it's not a joke, from here it's a local call to the Baal Shem. It's not a long distance call from Yerushalayim. We don't need to go, if you're daven by Rav Nachman Mibreslov in Oman, you know what, that tefillah, it's going to become always gemutzit because it has to travel to Yerushalayim, and from Yerushalayim it goes heavenward. Why take this poor tefillah and mitzvahs ois from the Neshama? Say it here and you're okay. And that includes Ramat Chayin and Tel Aviv and all sorts of other places. Still local, it's still local.
We have the Chazon Ish.
You have the Chazon Ish. And we have God.
Intermediary.
So, now, the first five articles of the faith all come under the category of the existence of God. Now, the existence of God, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God exists, he is one, he is not physical, he is eternal, to him alone do we pray. Now I'm going to make it a little easier for you, because if you look down at the bottom, the 13 principles of the faith, a prose counterpart to the poetic Yigdal, both the Animamin and the Yigdal summarize the principles set out by Moses Maimonides. There you have, born in 1135 and died in 1204. The first five are about God. If you will learn that, you'll be able to say it back at the end of this year. His existence, his unity, he's one, his incorporeality, he is not physical, his eternity, Rishon v'achron, Hoya, Hove v'yeh, he was, he is, he will be, and the belief that he alone is to be worshipped. The next four of the 13 articles of the faith talk about Torah Misinai, that Torah was given by God to the Jewish people at Sinai. And therefore, when we go to number 6, it says, Animam and Domun Hashlema, Shakol Divrei Nevi'im Emet, I believe with perfect faith that all of the words of the prophets, they are all true. That alone is not enough. We have to define Vuzayin and prophets. Animam and Domun Hashlema, I believe with perfect faith, Shenevuach Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Shalom Haita Amitit. I believe with perfect faith that the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu was the truth. Veshehu Haya Av LaNeviim, he was the father of all prophets, LaKodmim LeFanav, greater than all who preceded him, V'laboim acharav, and those who come after him. Those two words, v'laboim acharav, are of the greatest historic significance, because there are two other religions that we know of that decided that their prophet is even greater than Moshe.
Wow.
One was Yeshu, and the other was Mohammed.
Right.
It's not so. Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon Kol HaNeviim. And anybody who comes and says that such and such prophet is greater than Moshe Rabbeinu has stepped out of the Jewish faith community, and you can call him a Kaifa Be'ika. He has rejected Torah and all that he stands for. It stands for. Number eight, and in Amid Bimun Ashnaima Shakola Torah, Mtsuya Tobiyadainu, Yamisunala, Moshe Rabbeinu, all of us all. I believe with perfect faith that the entire Torah that we have in our position now, that was given to us by Moshe. And we've already established that God communicates with man through prophecy, and that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest of all prophets. So now what flows naturally from that is that we believe the Torah that we have came to us from Moshe Rabbeinu. And number eight, Animami ben Munah Shlem, I believe with perfect faith, Shekol HaTorah HaMetzuyah B'yad, no, Zot HaTorah, number nine, Zot HaTorah Lo Teh Mukhlefet V'lo Tehei Torah Acheret Me'et HaBoreh Yidbarat Shemo. We believe with perfect faith that this Torah is not going to be traded in for another Torah. It will remain for all time. There is no other Torah that comes from God. The Torah as God, as the Jewish people, is eternal. Anybody's going to tell you that this doesn't apply today, and that doesn't apply today, and this is insignificant, and that's unimportant, has already begun the extreme process of walking out of the Jewish faith community.
Who translated into English? Where did you get the translation?
It's interesting that you asked this question.
Yeah.
I Xerox this from Rabbi Jonathan Sachs's Koren. So all you Englishmen feel good for a minute or two. Okay?
But,
you know, I didn't even read his English. Let me see how his English looks. I believe with perfect faith that the prophecy of Moses, our teacher, peace be to him, Olam HaShalom, that's nice, was true, and he was the father of the prophets, those who preceded, and those who followed him before him. He knows how to translate very well. He does it good, he does it well. Okay. So now, six, seven, eight, and nine, those four articles of the faith deal with Torah, revelation at Mount Sinai. And those four are, God communicates with man, he communicates with man through the prophets. Moshe was the greatest of all prophets. The entire Torah that's in our possession was given to us by Moshe. And that Torah will never be changed. There will be no other Torah. So now, we are now at a second pillar of Jewish belief. The first one was the belief in God. The second is the belief in the divinity of Torah. And now, we're going to have 10, 11, 12, 13, the last four of the 13 articles of the faith, all deal with the idea of reward and punishment. It can also be called Hashgacha Pratit, that God is intimately involved within each and every one of us. And therefore, number 10 is Animame Bimun Hashlema, I believe with perfect faith that the Creator, blessed be His name, Yodea Kol Masei Bnei Adam V'Chol Machshavotam. He knows everything we do, and He knows everything we think. Shenema, it's a pasuk in Tehillim. Hayotze Yachad Libam, God who formed all of their hearts. Hameivino Kol Maseim. He understands all that they do. He knows what goes on in the hearts of men, and He knows what we do. Our lives are an open book before the Rabbeinu Shalom. Number 11, therefore, is Ani Mamed Abuna Shlemesh Haborei Yibarach Shemo Gomel Tov L'Shomrei Mitzvotav. He rewards those who keep his commandments, Umanish Lo Rei Mitzvotav, and punishes those who transgress him. There must be reward and punishment. Otherwise, it's all for naught. Doesn't mean a thing. But man is responsible for his deeds. Not only responsible, but he is also rewarded for his good deeds. Number 12 is most probably the most famous of the animamins, and that's the belief in Mashiach Tzidkenu, animamim emunah shlema beviat haMashiach, in the coming of the Messiah. V'afal pi sheyitmameya, even though he may delay, im kol zach hakelo, I will wait, b'chol yom sheyavo, every day that he comes, anytime he comes, I'm ready and waiting for him. And the 13th is the belief in Tchiyat HaMetim, and we talked about Tchiyat HaMetim and all of its ramifications. Was it 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago? We learned the second bracha in Shmon Esrei, Mechalkel Chayim Bechesed. We learned the Haftorah of Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach. And the Haftorah of Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach is the Haftorah of the dry bones of Ezekiel, that Yecheskel brings the dry bones back to life. And we explained that, I took it one giant step further, and I said Tchiyat HaMetim can also refer to to what happened in our generation, different than any other generation that ever preceded it, that a people that was dying was brought back to life by the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Mm-hmm. All right, so now you have the 13 articles of faith. Okay, let's see. Timing. How long will it take for me to say it? And if I'm going to have to take a breath in the middle.
Oh.
Right. Tekiya Gedola. Tekiya Gedola. He exists. He is one, he's not physical, he's eternal. To him alone do we pray. All the Torah, God communicates with man. Moshe was the greatest of all the prophets. The entire Torah that's in our possession was given to us by Moshe. That Torah will never be changed. God knows what we do and what we think. He rewards for good deeds and he punishes for evil deeds. The two ultimate rewards of all are the reward in this world, which is Yemot HaMashiach, the days of Mashiach. Mashiach is going to be a period in history. It's going to be a period in real history where we're going to be the same. Physically, we will be the same. We're going to eat, we're going to drink, we're going to go to work, we're going to do all the things. It's not, the Yemot HaMashiach is not a spiritual world. It is a physical world. But it's a physical world in which there will indeed be real peace on earth and goodwill toward all men. And all of that is going to emanate from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Umala ha'aretz deo et Hashem, the entire world will be full of the knowledge of God. Kamayim layam mechasim, like the waters cover the sea. All right? That's the introduction to the Shia. That's the introduction.
Oh, my.
Now, second sheet. And we're going to go through one shtickale in the Haggadah, and that's it. One shtickale in the Haggadah. Vayotzienu Hashem in Mitzrayim, and you already know from last week the structure of the Haggadah. Should I tell you the truth? I'll tell you the truth. Whatever I said last week, I made it up. On the spot, here in class. And it was so great. I'm so impressed with myself. I can see people watching this video, and they're going to start laughing at me. Okay, laugh at me. You want to? I've written it all up and I'm expanding it to be a Shabbos HaGadol Drasha over here. How many people are coming to the Shabbat home? Okay, not bad. You didn't hear it last week.
I had the tape.
You had the tape. Okay. Well, now you're going to hear it from me on Shabbos. And there'll be more. We're expanding it just for you. So here we are. This is, we're coming toward the end of the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, relating the story of Egypt. You will recall that I divided the Haggadah into three essential parts. The first part is the description of the mitzvah. Who has to fulfill the mitzvah? How does it have to be fulfilled? When is it fulfilled? That's all from the Manishtana up until and including V'hi Sha'on Dol Avoseinu V'Lamud. That's the introduction. Ken, don't listen to me now. All right. And starting right after V'hi Sha'on Dol, we begin with Tsei Ulamad Ma Bikesh Lavan Harami Lasos. That is, in fact and indeed, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. And we tell the story via the study of Torah. We study the beginning of Parshat Ki Tavo until we come to the second B'chol Dorador, Chayav Adam Liris Hasatzmo Ki Iluhu Yotzo Mimitzrayim. And the third part of the Haggadah is praise and thanksgiving. Lefichach Anachnu Chayovim Lehodos, etc., etc., etc. In the middle of the Sipur, and we are darshaning a pasuk. This pasuk at the top of the page is one of the psukim at the beginning of Parashat Ki Tavo, if I'm not mistaken. It's pasuk 6 in the declaration. Vayotzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim. God took us out of Egypt, b'yad chazaka, with a strong hand. Remember what we said about strong hand and zroa netuya, and outstretched arm. It's a manner of speaking. It does not describe the essence of God. When we regarded with great fear, with signs and with miracles. So there we say, each one represents two. This pasuk represents all Eser Makos. Vayetzeinu Hashem Yitzrayim B'yad Chazaka is two, Zeroa Netuya is two, Morah Gadol is two, Otot Umoftim. We'll see right away what the Baal Leil Shimurim says. Otot is a plural, so that means two. Moftim is a plural, so that means another two. Each, the rest of the Makos were represented by two words. Take a look in the passage. How many words are there? From Biyot Chazak until the end of the passage, there are eight words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes, 8 words. But these 8 words represent the 10 Makos. How do 8 represent 10? Because the last 2 words are plurals. Otot is signs. Moftim are wonders. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda gave simonim. He reduced them, so to speak, to 3 words, the tzach, adash, ba'achav. Of course, what we have to understand is what was Rabbi Yehuda accomplishing over here? We live in a world where everything is reduced. Everything is reduced. How many I remember when I first thought about this, the only things I was able to think of were NATO, CETO. I mean, today, every NGO is a bunch of HRWs, WMD. What's WMD?
Weapons
of mass destruction. You're very, very good.
Oh.
And what's BSD?
Yeah.
Huh? Boycott
the Vestment and Sanction.
Boycott the what's
the Vestment and Sanction.
Yeah, okay, I got that. Everything, so big deal, so maybe we'll say that Rabbi Yehuda was the first one, who he put together the Esa Makos and the Tzach HaDash Bacham. The truth is, he could have done it in another way. It could have been the Tzacha, Dashab, Achab. I mean, there are all sorts of combinations that you can make over here. What was it that Rabbi Yehuda accomplished?
Yeah.
All right. So now, I'm going to take you through this shtickle. Now, you're going to have to, how many times have I quoted? You have to do what my Rebbe used to say in grade one. Hold your finger on the spot so you should be able to follow through it. Birat the explanation of what all this means, he says. The Lefisha Lidrosha Rishona. They're coming to tell us over here that all of the Esa Makos are found in that pasuk in Parashat Ki Tavo that we have said in the Haggadah. Now, you'll see I have numbers on the side by fives, and if I skip from one place to the next, I'll just tell you the number to look at. The pasuk says Yesh Kamo Eser Tevus. In this pasuk, there are like 10 letters from Biyat Chazaka until the end of the pasuk. I told you that. Da'ashen Yurak Shmona Tevus, even though it's only 8, there are only 8 words. But Yesh Kam Eser Tevus, it's really Achlit Nesha Shtayim Elu. But also, so most of these two. Also, so most of them, Losh and Rabim, they are plural, so they are considered, line 5, Nechshavim Kikfulam, Fulim, they are considered as double. V'yeshkan Esateva, so it really means that there are 10 words from Biyad Chazaka to the end of the Pasuk. V'chol Elu Meramzim Alo Esamakas, Beprotius, Kemo Shizbar, B'siyata Nishmaya, all of these words are Remozim, they are hints to the 10 10 words, 10 makos. The inyan ha'esa makos nidim min ha'torah v'midrashi chazal shoho yumuchrochim lo lehosif lo legroa. From the psukim, from the midrashim, it seems that there had to be 10. Not 9 and not 11. If there had to be only 10, then it means that there was a purpose and an objective to each one of the makos. And there's no way to substitute anything else for it, add or subtract. Sha'arei kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, this is what the Holy One, Blessed Be He, said to Moshe. Od nega echod avi. Before Makas Bechoros, before the Mako, the first one, the Pasuk in Parshas Bo says that God tells Moshe, Od nega echod, one more plague I'm going to bring upon them. When he says one more plague, that of course leaves the clear impression from what the divine said, that there's one more, that'll make it 10, and that's it.
That's it.
And afterwards, he will send you out of here. The mevuar, the od nega echod muchrach lihiyot, one more plague there must be. V'yoter mizeh einu tzor, more than that, unnecessary. V'chein mevuar, the medrash most, the medrash says in Shmos, v'zol lishonu, Mahu kol ha-movtim asher samti biyodecha. God tells Moshe, go back to Mitzrayim with all of the wonders that I have placed in your hand. What are the wonders that I have placed in your hand? Zehamata, that's the stick, the staff of Moshe. Shoha yuksuvin olav ha-eser makos, the 10 makos were written on that staff. And how were they written? Lo and behold, they were written the Tzach, Adash, Va'achav. The matter of Moshe had the Tzach, Adash, Va'achav. The Chenom Rabbi Yehuda. And so said Rabbi Yehuda. All this is in the Medrash. V'yadua Masha Kosu B'Shem Agrov. Al Maimer Rabbi Yehuda, Yenosh Vem Simonim, Da'akavonu L'Mamar HaMedrash. The Vilna Gaon says that when Rabbi Yehuda said, when he gave Simonim, what Rabbi Yehuda is really telling us about is that that was the staff of Moshe. The staff of Moshe had the Makos written in that form on it. The Hakavona, the Mamra Medrash Shalamate, Hoya Katov, Esa Makos, the 10 Makos were written on the staff. Al Koponim Nidal Hedya, Shaesa Makos, Hoya Mufrochim, Liosadain, Misheshis, and Meg Bereshis. It means that it was determined and destined from the 10 days of creation, because in Pirkei Avos it says that the Mate of Moshe, with which he did the miracles, was already prepared from Sheshit Yimei Bereshit, from the beginning of time. It was created on the great first Erev Shabbos that the world experienced. On that Erev Shabbos, not only Adam and Chava were created, but also the Mate came into existence, which means that this was all part of a divine plan. And therefore the 10 Makos that were on that step represent, no, not 9 and not 11. ובפרקי דרב אליעזר מבוא שמעת היה בגן עדן ולוקח אדם ראשון משם. All right, so how did it get to Moshe? It got to Moshe because the staff was in Gan Eden. And I imagine that means the only thing we know that Adam Arishan took with him when he was expelled from the Garden of Eden, he took that staff with him. And then ultimately it made its way to Moshe. How? You don't ask Kashas on the Rabbeinu Shalom. He knows how to do it. I'll tell you what the next big paragraph says. It says the following. When we study the Makot, you will see there's something very strange about it. What's strange is there's such a clear order. The first two Makot, Moshe Rabbeinu warns Paro in advance. If you don't let my people go, blood. All the water will turn to blood. If you don't let my people go, there will be a plague of frogs. The third Makot, Kinim, lice, comes without any kind of
warning.
No warning. One and two with warning, three without. The pattern goes straight through the Makos. Four and five are with warning. Six, no warning. Seven and eight, with warning. Nine, Choshef, no warning. And then the Od Nega Echad, the one more, which is Makos Becharos. The question is why? Why does it work in this pattern? Two with warning, one without. Two with warning, one without. And then, when we look at the individual Makos, there's some very troubling things over there. When we get to number four was the mixture of wild animals that came through. A number of the Makos, we'll see them as we go through them individually. In a number of cases, God tells Moshe to tell Paro, this will not happen to the Jewish people. And Paro sent his men to see, is this Makot coming upon the Jewish people? Mm-hmm. No. Twice that happens. What are we to assume? That the other eight Makos happened to the Jewish people too? And only these two that are specified in Torah, only these two that were...
Yeah.
Didn't happen to the Jewish people. Madness. You can't even begin to understand that. So now we come to the crux of the matter. We had learned the 13 articles of the faith of the Rambam. About 200 years after the Rambam, Rabbi Yosef Albo, who wrote the Sefer Ha'ikrim, the Book of Principles, reduces the 13 of the Rambam to three pillars. One, two, three. Rabbi Yosef Albo says that all the 13 of the Rambam are included in the following three. The existence of God, and as we pointed out, even when we learned the Rambam, that the first five that talk about the existence of God are really They're one, but they are a description. Yes, there is a God. He's one. He's not physical. He's eternal. To him alone do we pray. That was pretty good. I remembered. I could have forgotten also. That's not so simple. All right? Then I'd be in trouble. And then we pointed out again the second group. The second group talked about Torah min hashamayim, that God gives instruction from heaven. He didn't simply create a world and leave it without a guide to living. And the guide to living in Torah is not only for the Jewish people. There are the seven Noahide mitzvahs. God tells man how to live. Mm-hmm. Everything you create or you make, it has to come with a user's manual.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What are you supposed to do with the life that you have? So the second of the three pillars, according to Rabbi Yosef Albo, is revelation at Mount Sinai. God taught Torah. He gave instruction to all of mankind. Guidance. Direction. Third pillar is reward and punishment. Yeah. You have to do the mitzvahs. You don't do the mitzvahs, you do averis, there's going to be punishment. The Aruch HaShulchan, the author of this Leil Shimurim HaKadah, says, dividing the Makos into three, Tetzach, Adash, Ba'achav, is in order to teach Taro and Mitzchayim these three great articles of the faith. Each group of Makot is going to address another one of the three articles of the faith that we say include all 13. And he's going to be taught, Paro and Mitzrayim are going to be taught, each one of them. And the rule is the following. You get one clap, you get a second clap. If you haven't learned the lesson yet, comes the third makah without warning. Now there's something that distinguishes the third, the sixth, and the ninth. The third is lice, the sixth is boils, and the ninth is darkness. Each one of the three affected the body. The darkness was that thick they couldn't move. Boils, lice, because that's the clap. You didn't learn the lesson? Heh, that's what you get. That already doesn't have to come with any kind of warning. That has an intention in and of itself. In the whole parasha Va'era and Bo, where the Makos appear, it says, if I'm not mistaken, it may be 10 times, Leman Teda, so that you should know, Ki Ani Hashem, that I am God. Leman Teda Ki Ani Hashem, in order that you know that I am God, Bekeref Haaretz, in the midst of the earth. Leman Teda, so that you should know that there is none like me. All of the matters were not a random attempt at bringing suffering down upon the Egyptian people. The purpose of the matters was education, instruction, direction. There's no such thing as God simply bringing punishment. You don't learn the lesson, so what do you do about it? You have to get a clock, but what's there to talk about? So now, let's go through the... let's go through the markers. Let's go to line, the next paragraph. Line, that must be line 29, 30. Since Paro and Mitzrayim rejected all of these articles of the faith, the first thing God brought upon them was the marker of blood and frogs. And the purpose of blood and frogs was to teach them that there's a God who created the world, and he's the only one who can radically, dramatically change the very nature of the world. According to their wrong way of seeing things, hakol b'teva, Everything is nature. Veina teva yachol hishtanot. Nature can never change. Nature, that's it. Lachen hevi Hashem makas dam. Therefore God brought the plague of blood. Shehamayim shein betachlus akridus. Water naturally is cold, turns into its exact opposite, blood, which is hot. Veina teva akridus nitapu ledam shein betachlus akamimus. A dramatic and complete turning around of nature. This had to cause them to stop and think, what's happening over here? Is there some kind of a force that can determine nature? Is there a force that can change nature dramatically? Nature changed completely. The life of its Vardeya is inextricably intertwined with water. That's their natural habitat. That's where they live. A Tzvardeya, a frog, can live in a stove, in an oven, on land. It's unbelievable. That's a complete change in nature. When they go out to dry land, they can't live. God changed nature. Changed nature that they left their natural habitat, which of course is against the nature of the Tzvardeya, and they went to a place where they naturally cannot live. And then they end up in the ovens. Ushtayim elu hayu ayidei hatra'ah. These two makos came with warning. And the warning was, I'm bringing this l'man teda, so that you should know, ki ani Hashem, that I'm God. What was Paro's first response to Moshe, when Moshe told him, the God of the Hebrews has appeared to me and told me, let my people go. And he said, mi Hashem, who is God? Asher eshma b'kolom, that I should listen to him. Who is God? Chabibi. You're going to find out precisely who God is. And that's how it begins. He didn't learn the lesson. You know what happens because he doesn't learn the lesson? Comes a third maka without any warning at all. Ushtarim elu, these two, after warning, v'zehu mofes, this is proof of mitziyut Hashem, the existence of God. Shemahapecha teva, kiritzono yivar, he can change nature. By will alone. Since they didn't listen to these two warnings, what he's saying now is, since they didn't listen, they have to get a punishment. And that punishment is something that affects their bodies directly. Because the Gemara talks about certain people who deny the dictates of the Sanhedrin or the Beit Din, they have a right to put him into some kind of a solitary confinement until he agrees to follow the words of the rabbis. Shesivivot kol gufom. That was makas kinim, the lice that surrounded their whole bodies. The makas dveikol in the sorum. The makas stuck to their flesh. Mashalo hoya came to makas dangles for there. That didn't happen by makas dangles for there. Okay, the other side, let's see. Yeah. Have to make sure we're going to make it to the end. Over Marcos, out of the Deve, Nidbar the Torah, Dava Chodesh. Listen to this very carefully. Oro was a mixture of wild animals that came down out of their natural habitat out in the mountain. I don't know, lions, tigers, hippopotamus, elephants. All right, you know, wild animals. Never lose sight of the fact there could be human beings. There could be human beings who act like wild animals too. We know enough of them. But Marcus sort of Devon is Barba Torah Dova Chodesh. Something new enters into the story by these two plagues. Listen to the pasuk. God says, "V'hifleiti b'yomahu et eretz Goshen," I am going to distinguish and separate on that day, the day of these plagues, I'm going to distinguish the land of Goshen, asher ami omed olea, where my people live. Levilti hayot shamaro. They're not going to be an invasion of wild animals there. You read the pasuk and you begin to wonder yourself, what's God talking about? Jews suffer from Dan, from Tzvardeya, from Kinem. What does he mean by telling Paro, on that day I'm going to separate, distinguish, my people are going to be unique. Where in Jewish neighborhoods there won't be a plague. And the Chen Bedever, the plague that killed the cattle, it says, "Velo yomus mikol evnei Yisrael dover." Not a single Yiddish shepseller is going to die. What? And what, Jews suffered from the other markers? But Ezer Borur, this is clear. The Ganda Markot HaKodmot lo shol to a Markot Yisrael. It's clear that by all the other markers, it did not in any way affect the Jewish people. So why is God pointing out that these two markers are not going to affect the Jewish people? Why by Oro Vedeva does God have to say, "Oh no, no, these markers are not going to come upon the Jewish people"? The purpose of the second group of markers was to teach Paro the good are rewarded and only the bad are punished. And you know how he's going to get it through Paro's thick skull? I'm bringing a marker of wild animals. Pay attention. Look carefully and you'll see. The land of Goshen, where my people are living, you won't see it there. The plague that's going to kill the livestock, it's only you guys, the bad guys, not by the Jewish people. It's being pointed out here is not because the other makos did affect the Jewish people. None of the makos affected the Jewish people. But there's a lesson to be taught here. And the lesson to be taught here is that the evil are punished. And those who are not evil are not punished. And take a look, Paro. You're not going to suffer from the wild animals, but not there. And you know what this fellow Paro does? He sends men to check. And they come back and they say, "No wild animals in Goshen." By the plague of the animals, he again sends his people and says, "Check what's happening over there. Not a single Yiddish shepseller, not even a cat nor a dog died." The purpose why it's pointed out is because now we are up to the second pillar of the faith. And that second pillar of the faith, Adash, Arov, and Dever, come to teach reward and punishment. Mm-hmm. Punishment for the evil and reward for the Jewish people. Two markers. He didn't learn the lesson. Comes the third one without any warning whatsoever. The boils that cover the bodies of the Egyptians. All right, we can go to the next. The next is so fascinating. It's all fascinating. But you know, the next is even more fascinating. That looks like it's line 49. Ba'achakach b'makos borod. By hail, something new happens. Inyan chodosh, shetziva ha-mitzrim, shiachnisu avodeim m'kneim la-abatim, shemitnei sha-amaka zu, va'ar be-habo achareha, ho yukenegad ha-ikar ha-shlishi. By borod, by hail. You read the psukim, then you have to stand up and ask, what's happening here? By hail, God tells Paro through Moshe, take your cattle in from the field so that they shouldn't be harmed by the terrifying, terrifying hail that's going to fall. What's happening over here? All of a sudden God has Achmonis, poor Egyptian Shepsalach, a bleeding heart God. Get them out. Don't leave your servants in the field. If they're going to be in the field, they're going to be killed by you.